Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this first day of October. I'm your host, Paul White. Yesterday was the essay edition. Check that out. It's also available in print at our website, paulwhiteministries.com. That essay edition laid out a little bit of the framework, not entirely, but 13, 14 minutes of talking worth, of the framework of a new sermon series we're developing that we just started. In fact, in North Georgia, we do one Sunday night a month with our regular group, and it's called Silencing the Lamb. If you want any details on what that series will look like, check it out at the Essay Edition. Also, I am going to be airing that series for you on our audio and video platforms. It'll be a couple weeks behind. I'm going to interrupt a series of sermons we're airing from Michigan to put that up because I want it to air before the next meeting near the end of October. Anyhow, the title of that sermon is forthcoming because I'm still working on it when I'm recording this podcast, but I'm also aware that it will have already been preached by the time this podcast records. This is the magic of technology. Some of these things are happening before the other things are happening. Anyhow, I want to move forward on the calendar by moving backward a little bit in the chronological study of these Old Testament stories with New Covenant lenses. I have not claimed that moving left to right was ever our design in this. I just do that because it makes things a little easier for me. However, in my own personal reading, I'm not at the spot we are studying from day to day. I might bring to you a story from 2 Kings. In my own personal reading, I'm not necessarily in 2 Kings. I was reading the other day from 1 Samuel, and I am working through the David and Saul journey, which is one of the great dramas of the Old Testament. Honestly, if you haven't spent some time with David and his Saul encounter between the death of Goliath and the death of Saul, you're missing out on some high drama. That's Hollywood stuff right there. The drama between the covenant between David and Jonathan, which gets renewed, by the way, several times, unnecessarily. You don't have to renew covenant, but they do as if it's to bring a conscientiousness to the covenant, like, we're going to renew this so that we remember what we're supposed to do. But as I was reading, I'm just listening for this because I'm in that mode of what does the new covenant say about this? And I was in the 23rd chapter of 1 Samuel, my own reading. So I want to read for you today, take you back into this David and Saul encounter. And I'm not going to try to set this story up perfectly because there's so much context of what got us to this place. But I will say, David has spared the Jewish city of Keilah, which was under attack by Philistine marauders. David goes in, spares the city, saves them from the Philistines, even though his own men admit, look, we're scared, we don't want to do this. David goes in, they win, and then they are in the city of Keilah when Saul finds out David's there. Now, Saul's been hunting David for a while. I told you I'm going to give you context. I have to give you this. Saul gets excited because Keilah's a walled and gated city. And he says, David is inside of a walled and gated city. I've got him. David realizes he sort of pigeonholed himself, that by going in to spare the city of Keilah from the Philistines, he couldn't help himself. He had to. That's his nature. And by sparing that city, puts himself in danger. And Saul calls his nation, his people, to go to war and to besiege David in Keilah. Here's verse 9, 1 Samuel 23. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." And David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, rose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Now, here's what struck me as I was reading this. The ephod is the breastplate shoulder piece. It's like an overwrap. Imagine a Kevlar vest that you, not that you button up, but that you lay over your head that covers your shoulders. It's a little bit like that. This is such a crude, not everybody's going to get this, I don't think, but it's sort of like that that covering they put on you when you go to the dentist. It's that big, thick, almost rubber-like mat they lay over you so that the x-ray they're about to do on your head doesn't affect your torso. I always thought that was interesting. Like, it's okay to x-ray my head, but apparently the rest of my body can't take this. I don't know. It lays over you. The ephod was a little bit like that in that it was two pieces. One covered the chest, one covered the back, and then it was tied at the shoulders. And the ancient Urim and the Thummim were held there as well. These were the stone pieces by which men spoke to God. Now, there's a lot we don't understand. We read the Torah and these descriptions of the priestly garments and what they look like and how this worked. We don't understand it. What we do know is that only the priest wore the ephod with the breastplate of all of the stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was common knowledge that to wear the ephod was to stand in the position of priest, and therefore you had the ear of God. You were speaking to God from man. David is near Abiathar, the priest, who wears the ephod, and he says, "Bring it to me." And he puts the ephod on and starts talking to God. And God talks back. And as I was reading this, I was struck by a couple of things. First of all, the ephod was for the priest, not for David. And yet David believed in his own anointing and call enough that he figured, what do I have to lose if God wants me to do this? Wants me to be king, wants to protect me. He's not going to strike me down for using the ephod. And two, and this is what really strikes me from a New Covenant perspective. Do you know how good you have it that you get to talk to the Father? David can't get an answer from God without the ephod, some natural physical piece of uniform. You and I have internalized the Holy Spirit. When his disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray," what they were basically saying is, we've never seen a man get a hold of God like you. How do you do this without an ephod? How do you do this without the office of priest? And Jesus doesn't say to them, "Tough luck, guys, you're not a priest like me." No, he says to them, "Our Father who art in heaven." He teaches you. You don't need a piece of furniture. You don't need a piece of equipment. You have access to the Father. So where David needs this ephod and then he hears from God, you can hear from God at any time. Now some say, well, I would rather be able to hear from God out loud like David did. And my response is, really? If the only way you could do it was to have the one piece of uniform, the one position to be able to hear from God like that, you would still choose to live in that world rather than the one you live in where you get to follow the peace of the Holy Spirit at all times. Okay, we do more of these tomorrow. New Testament stories through an Old Covenant lens. See you then. God bless.